This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor and co-host Mark Murphy. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Dave.
There is, of course, a very close connection between economic development and infrastructure. And our guest in this segment is Rhode Island Department of Transportation Director, Mr. Michael Lewis. Director, thanks for joining us.
Gentlemen, glad to be here.
Well, we had a front page story this week about ridership on the MBTA trains that go to the south of Providence, to Warwick, to the Interlink, and then to Wickford Junction, and the fact that in the last year, ridership actually has gone down. And so, you know, it sort of brings people wondering what's happening, given the fact that there were brand new garages built for it. And in fact, the cost for the garages has been reduced to zero. So, you know, it doesn't cost anything to park there, to get on the trains, and just wondering what's happened.
We're disappointed, frankly, in the folks that haven't tried it yet. We still think that it is the right thing for Rhode Island for the future, to have that opportunity, the option to not use 95. We know that the people that are using it now love it, particularly the folks that are using it to go further north and on up to Boston for job opportunities up there. It is both economical for them. It's a much better use of their time. It's safer. They can actually text and ride at the same time. If you were to pull it away from them, there would be an uproar by those folks. It's a harder sell when you're coming to Providence. Part of that is based on the economy. Transit ridership is driven by convenience, by it's more economical, and because it's a better alternative than driving. What drives that is a robust economy, more jobs, more congestion on the highways. And I am a firm believer that we're going to be there, and that will be the case in the future. We can't grow our capacity on our highway system. We don't have the physical room to do that. You know, the Northeast is really squeezed out in terms of highway capacity expansion. There are some parts of the country that are still expanding their highways. That isn't a viable option in the Northeast. And for Rhode Island and for Providence to be competitive in a what is a very competitive economy, we need to have these alternatives in place and to have the MBTA system in place, to have the Amtrak connections in place, I think is a real boon for companies, for businesses to locate in Rhode Island because it's there.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We talked to some folks who said, well, you know, it's just not painful enough to drive from the south, either in terms of the commute.
Winter's coming, Mark.
Well, and I'll tell you what. I mean, I live just north of the intersection of 495, and that's pretty ugly. Yeah. No matter when it is, but it's apparently not ugly enough. But the other thing is that there's actually been a lot of talk about adding more parking downtown as part of the I-195 land, as Johnson & Wales has added a garage, the courthouse, the Gary Judicial Complex wants to build a garage. So that doesn't bode well, at least in the short term, for this enterprise.
Well, perhaps not in the short term, and I think that's an important question. And I think none of these decisions could be made in a vacuum or by themselves. You need to look at what is the overall objective for the state of Rhode Island and Providence. I think the governor is certainly about building the economy. I think the leadership in the General Assembly is about building the economy. I think most of us are about building the economy. And what are the best ways of doing that? It's not just a one strategy. So success in the I-195 corridor, the Knowledge District, encouraging development down there, that's an important feature of the goal to build up our economy. And if in the short term we don't get the growth in the rail service, but we get the growth in the economy, that I think is what's going to drive the growth in the rail service, because people, when you more jobs are there, there's more congestion on the highways, that's when you're going to get more ridership on the rail system.
One of the things talked about is perhaps the frequency of the trains or the timing of the trains doesn't quite match up what people's commuting patterns are. How much input can Rhode Island have to the MBTA to talk about that kind of thing?
No, it's a great question. And there are restrictions because we share the right-of-way, which is actually owned by Amtrak. Amtrak is responsible for dispatching all the trains, both MBTA and the Amtrak, Acela, and the intercity service. There are opportunities for more capacity, particularly between Providence and Warwick, because we invested in the last decade with a third track. We call it the Freight Rail Improvement Project, or the FRIP track. That provides added capacity so that all these different services can operate. So there are opportunities, but because we're dependent upon the MBTA service and their very complex scheduling, we need to work with them on timing of trains that are more compatible to what the needs are here.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, and we're speaking with Rhode Island Department of Transportation Director Michael Lewis. Director Lewis, there is deep concern that highway projects in many states might not get future federal funding because of the situation with a shortage in funds involving the federal gas tax and how it's structured. What's the latest as we speak today? What are you hearing about that in terms of Rhode Island projects?
Okay. First of all, I don't think the concern is quite deep enough. I think we need to do a better job communicating just what the situation that we're facing right now. And as many of your listeners know, is what we've been trying to articulate with the public and with the General Assembly over the last several years on the nature of the funding of transportation in Rhode Island. And a lot of progress has been made getting off of the debt service requirement. But we don't have any state-generated funding for capital improvements, none in Rhode Island, which is very different than most states.
Because
that's not what the legislature has chosen to do. And so we're 100% dependent upon the federal government for our capital improvement projects.
Are there any projects, local projects, Rhode Island projects, that may stall out because of a potential lack of funding?
There are, and I'll just give you a sense, Dave, of the background there. We are dependent on something called the Highway Trust Fund, and this was established by Congress back in the 50s for the construction of the interstate highway system. And it was funded through the imposition of a federal gas tax. Over the years, that's been increased somewhat. The last time the federal gas tax was increased was 1993. And obviously, over the last 20 years, inflation has had a major impact on that, on what that can purchase. And for the first time, the Highway Trust Fund is actually giving out more money to the states than it takes in. And we all know what happens when that is continued. So by the end of September of 2014, the Highway Trust Fund will no longer be able to distribute any money to the states, all the states. All the states, unless Congress acts, all the states are facing virtually a zero federal funding for the fiscal year 2015, and that would correspond to no projects being advertised for construction. Everything stops unless something happens. So what we're working on right now, and it actually gets a little bit worse than that, because we have existing commitments, current projects like the Providence Viaduct, that are multi-year projects. We don't commit all the funds for that project in the first year. We commit it over several years. So we have to reserve funds in future portionments for those projects. We are still paying off the debt service on all the big projects like the I-Way, like the Fripp Rail Improvement Project, like the Saconnet River Bridge, through what we call Garvey debt, which is we borrowed money against future federal obligations. So we have to take future federal money to continue to pay off our debt. We have to reserve monies to pay off those debts. So that means the 2014 advertising program is also being restricted because of our commitments in 15. Congress could act tomorrow and add $15 billion a year to the Highway Trust Fund, and everything would go on just like it is. Anybody taking any bets on whether that's going to happen tomorrow? Action has to happen before the end of September, or the 2015 reality hits that there is no federal money available for capital projects.
We'll have to leave that here, and we will certainly be following this story and others connected with the federal funding of the highways and other transportation. Our guest has been Rhode Island Department of Transportation Director Michael Lewis. Thanks for joining us. We'd like to have you back to follow up on what we've been talking about and some other things we didn't get to.
Mark and Dave, I'd be glad to come back. Thanks very much.
Thanks to co-host Mark Murphy of Providence Business News.
Great as always, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon. This has been The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.
Support for The Bottom Line comes from Bank RI, a local bank creating financial solutions to help small businesses grow and succeed. More at bankri.com.